and our guest is not with us yet. But I will be trying to call him on another phone.
Okay.
And we'll be talking to James Redfield, who wrote The Celestine Prophecy and The Tenth Insight. He crystallized a new spiritual vision for millions of people around the world. The book describes an emerging global renaissance already underway and pointed to exciting spiritual experiences. And we all recognize in our daily lives. You are now listening to the Taz and Paula Show, and I'm Paula.
And I'm Taz. Well, guys, if you want to curl up with a good book, you're in for a big treat. The tip of the day is put James Redfield on your shopping list, for he is announcing the release of his highly anticipated new book, The 12th Insight, The Hour of Decision. How exciting. And it's available at your favorite bookseller on upcoming February the 15th, 2011. James Redfield is best known as the author of the best-selling novel, The Celestine Prophecy. He grew up in a rural area near Birmingham, Alabama. And as a young man, he studied Eastern philosophies, including Taoism and Zen, while majoring in sociology at Auburn University. He later received a master's degree in counseling and spent more than 15 years as a therapist to abused adolescents. During that time, he was drawn into the human potential movement and turned to it for theories about the intuitions and psychic phenomena that would help his clients. And in 1989, he quit his job as a therapist to write full-time, synthesizing his interest in interactive psychology, Eastern and Western philosophies, science, futurism, ecology, history, and mysticism. And when James Redfield self-published his first novel in 92, the immediate interest from booksellers and readers made The Celestine Prophecy one of the most successful self-published books of all time. And Warner Brothers bought the rights and published the hardcover edition in March of 94. The book quickly climbed to the number one position on the New York Times bestseller list. According to Publishing Trends, The Celestine Prophecy was the number one international bestseller of 96. And it was number two in 95. The novel spent over 3 years on the New York Times bestseller list. And as of May 2005, The Celestine Prophecy had sold over 20 million copies worldwide and has been translated into 34 languages. Wow.
Well, Taz, I had a bookstore at that time, and I can remember The Celestine Prophecy went off, flying off the shelves when it first came out. It was changed many people's lives.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still trying to get a hold of James, so I'm going to be off the line for a minute.
Okay. So let me go on while Paula reaches James. In 96, the sequel, The Tenth Insight, Holding the Vision, also became the bestseller. The two books spent a combined 74 weeks on New York Times bestselling list, making James Redfield the best-selling hardcover author in the world in 96, as cited in BP Report in January 97. And in his nonfiction title, The Celestine Vision, Living the New Spiritual Awareness, Redfield explored the historical and scientific background of the emerging spirituality discussed in his novels. The Celestine series of adventure parables continued in 99 while the publication of The Secret Shambhala in Search of the 11th Insight. And in 2002, James joined author Michael Murphy and filmmaker Sylvia Timbers in a collaborative nonfiction work entitled God and the Evolving Universe. The Celestine Prophecy film made its U.S. theatrical Celestine Films and DVD Sony Pictures release in 2006. James Redfield produced and co-wrote the screenplay with Barnett Baines and Dan Gordon. James and Sally Redfield are the founders of the Global Prayer Project, a biweekly telewebcast which offers guided prayer and meditation. And Redfield's newest offering...
Well, we have James with us online.
Oh, excellent.
Hi, James.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, fine. We were getting a little excited here. We've already introduced you and told everyone about your newest book and what you're up to. And speaking of your newest book, did you write this the same as you did the other Celestine books? Did things come to you like they did before? Or I'm just curious in how all this information comes
sure.
to you.
Well, you know, it's the fourth book in the series, and it covers what I'm calling the 12th insight. You know, the mind calendar calls this new consciousness or the kind of tapping in feeling, the quickening that we feel, you know, a universal consciousness. A lot of other prophecies call it different things. But I call it the 12th insight. And it's really a book about looking at what it is we're feeling and how it is that we're tuning in to this expanded consciousness. So it, you know, it's just the next book in the Celestine series.
Hmm. Well, it sure has the right timing. I mean, we really need all the information we can get to be able to use our own intuitive self and tuning in. So this is really great timing because people need this kind of information more now than ever.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think everyone can feel something. You know, we went through this this perception that it, you know, this time period really wasn't about doomsday. You know, we may have some challenges and probably will have some challenges, both, you know, physically on the planet and tests in our lives. Certainly we're right in the middle of a financial downturn in spite of the people that say we aren't. You know, down at the street level, everybody knows we're really are in a kind of shaky economy. And I just believe that, you know, what we're doing is tuning in at this time in history, despite all the challenges, maybe because of all the challenges, and tuning in to use our intuitive side, you know, the whole right side of our brains, that the whole human culture is shifting as, you know, this balance of the right side of the brain comes in. And what it gives us is all these amazing faculties of intuition that we perceive as little guidances in our lives. It makes very practical aspects of our lives feel better, but also moves us toward what our soul wants in terms of winding up in the synchronistic circumstances where we can do what we came here to do. So, you know, this is all just being honed, I think, because of the challenges that we have right now.
It looks like it's kind of a natural type of step that we're going into around, you know, between now and 2012, where we're just like learning how to support people. And maybe some of these disasters, I'm kind of looking at them as if maybe that's the whole plan. You know, I don't know what you think about that, but maybe the plan in supporting us to learn how to do these things more effectively.
Well, you know, it's probably the old two-before metaphor, you know, where if you if you drag your feet long enough with your distractions, you know, the spiritual winds are going to give you a little bit more to wake up with. I think it's that. But it's also an extremely positive thing once we figure it out. And of course, I think that we all are figuring it out, and I think that's the 12th insight. We are figuring out how to live this higher, more tuned in spirituality.
You use your own life experiences to write your books, I've heard. And so what happened to you in your life experience that brought you to this 12 insight?
Well, you know, it just built upon itself. You know, people ask me all the time, why haven't you written another book? And what I say is that, you know, I'm not making this stuff up. You know, I have to wait until something's happening. But if you just look at the political swings, for just one example, you know, the political tirades over the last 2 years were just horrible. And everyone thought, both left and right, you know, thought that they were acting to save the world. And so they've quite frankly said that, well, since that's the case, I can bend the truth a little bit. And what that's done, of course, is just totally invalidated politics, not just here in the United States either, but people are very, very skeptical about politicians and business leaders because the same thing has happened. And you can look at why, you can look at all the forces of greed and the collapse of our idea about karma, so that, you know, people say, well, you know, there's no spiritual dynamic that is there to correct us and bring us toward the truth, so why not just do whatever you have to do to make it big in life? You know, there's no spiritual reality, a lot of people claim. So, you know, those, in that atmosphere, then, of course, people just have become more and more corrupt. But I think that what you can see now is this new call for civility. And it certainly, you know, everybody's like, you know, tossing it back like a hot potato. But it's definitely a call that across all political thought, especially in the United States, that's very, very sincere. And I think what we're, as part of this tuning in to this new wave of consciousness that's coming in, we realize, hey, there, you know, karma is real. And not only that, right now it's coming back to us very quickly. And that makes the 12th insight have to begin, and it is beginning, I believe, with all of us looking at, okay, how honorable am I over truth? You know, the truth about what I'm doing, the truth about what's going on in my life, the truth about what we're saying to ourselves. You know, how clear are we to our shadow side? And if you look at what's happened over the last year or two, you really, I just see it everywhere. You know, so many books, beginning with, probably with Marianne Williamson's book, The Age of Miracles. You know, so many manifestations of this idea that, hey, something miraculous happens when we begin to live an authentic life. So it took me a little while to really, you know, just in myself for sure, but, you know, other people in the conversations, and, you know, I just think we've hit a sort of critical mass of formation now so that we can learn how to tune in to this new way of life that that gets in alignment, as I call it, with the spiritual design of the universe. And it has no connection to whether one calls oneself spiritual or not. It's not about that. It's how well do you live it, and that's what we're learning to do right now. So I've tried to capture that, of course, in a book that was like The Salting Prophecy. You ask about the process. It's, you know, it's about me seeing it and beginning to live it out and talking about my experiences.
Well, as you're talking about the truth, what I see is instant karma. If you're not walking your own truth, it's going to come back and bite you.
And that's, you know, it's a parable. You know, I don't want people to think everything in the book happened. But just like with the other books, I like to say the most important parts are true. It's an illustration of people learning how to live this, you know, 2013 reality. You know, this new spiritual dynamic that makes our lives go so much better, you know.
Well, for the people that just... So people just tuned in. We're talking to James Redfield and his newest book that's coming out. And you can actually pre-order the book on your website, CelestineVision.com.
So it's coming out on the February the 15th. And what we're doing is just a countdown. And on the 12th Insight site, and of course our other site, Celestine Vision, you know, people who are interested can get little snippets and excerpts and get an idea of what the book is going to be about and see if they relate to it. And but we just want people to get a head start a little bit and see if they see the same thing that I'm describing out there.
Well, you know what, I tend to want to go back with you a little bit, and if you will give us the deciphering moment that you knew you were headed for writing.
You mean from the very beginning?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, it was after the 10th call from my publisher saying, "Where is it?" I thought, "Well, how close am I?" And a couple of things happened in a row, and one was one of those synchronicities that I call affirming synchronicities. I was talking to someone who was telling me about their experiences intuitively, and it just rung a bell with me. You know, I'll describe it in a minute, but while I was talking to him, this is in some land that I have in Alabama, on a lake, and it's very wooded, and it's a getaway. And so I'm talking to this person, and all of a sudden, you know, this bald eagle flies by the window. I mean, within, you know, 20 feet on the other side of the window as I'm talking, you know. And I'm thinking, well, I've never seen a bald eagle here, ever. And, you know, I kept talking, and of course the bald eagle turned around, flew right in front of the window again, and has now permanently taken up residence on the lake. So what the person was talking to me about, which seemed to be getting an affirming synchronicity there, was the everyday nature of the intuitive guidance that we're getting. Now, He was given an example of something that he did, but you know, I could barely listen to that because of what came rushing into my mind with new significance was something that happened to me the previous day, and that was we were looking for a pet because one of our pets was very aged and had died, and we live out in the woods here, so we needed a bigger dog that was part of watchdog, but was, you know, fit us. You know, all the dog lovers know what I mean by that. And so I'm late. I can't even remember exactly what I was going. Meet somebody downtown, which is about 20 minutes away. I was late. And all of a sudden, the issue of the dog came to my mind. And so I started pondering that, you know, and then I realized how late I was. And another picture came to my mind, and that was of a PetSmart office or building nearby. And very clearly, but I was late. I almost just blew it off. And then I thought, wait a minute. Hey, you're talking about this issue you have with a dog. You know, you're right around the corner here is this PetSmart. Go see what they have. You know, they knew they often had rescue dogs. I walk in, and as you know, dog lovers know, you walk in, you make eyes with, you know, connect with a dog, and I knew that was our dog, just like that. Now, I didn't set out to find her right then. I did have a sense we would find her soon, but I dreaded the search because last time we had to get a dog, I tried to use too much logic about it. So I was systematically going from here to there, you know, looking systematically, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when I had that intuition, I realized, wow, that was a guidance. That made something that was probably going to take a long time go really quick. And it, then I realized how often in the last year those things were coming to me. Now, we all know that's the way it works, and we all try to follow it. But I realized there was a greater power. In other words, there was just so much energy that helped me distinguish an intuitive guidance like that from a responsibility thought. You know, a thought of, oh, I got to get this done thought. But it was different. And out of that whole nexus of events right there, I realized that, you know what? It's very practical application that we're talking about here. You know, this is not just finding your mission in life kind of intuition. This is the everyday stuff, only we're getting a larger dose of it. It's coming faster, easier. And, of course, the book is about, you know, how do we get clear enough to do the listening, and what are we figuring out about how to really manifest our greatest goals and dreams. Because it's this alignment thing. You know, get in alignment with truth, and these miracles start to happen. And I think that's a piece that's been missing since the 11th Insight came out.
Well, as you were saying, you were late and running late, and you were going to meet someone. And under normal circumstances, because of our busy lives, we ignore our intuition because we have to be practical and go forward to where we were going to go. So I think you're bringing a good point across to our listeners that we have to slow down a little bit and listen.
That's exactly true. Slowing down is a big part of it, and I think that's what we're doing. I mean, that's becoming a priority. Even though we really feel like we're behind, maybe even more, getting everything done, still we're starting to listen more, and that's the key. That's the key, and of course, it's just one of the pieces, but it's probably the most important one. Get into truth. You know, the other aspect of truth is not to claim you know something that you don't, not to manipulate other people's opinion of you. You know, if there's any distortion, what happens is this karma that comes back is very often in the form of someone who distorts some information we should have had, or we could have had if we'd been able to have an authentic conversation with the person, but they're manipulating in some way the conversation. So, you know, this happens to all of us. You know, we fall back into our old control dramas, and we're now becoming conscious. So, you know, because we know what's at stake, we're becoming very, very conscious of that. So we move from inauthenticity in conversation back to authenticity. So what does that give us? That gives us something very immediate. Instead of, if we manipulate, we draw in people that manipulate us. If we are authentic and truthful, if we don't know something, we say, I don't know, you know, we're authentic. But if we hold that space, again, something miraculous happens. And what we draw in then as synchronicities, well, there's more piece to that too. I'll talk about it. It's being of service to others. In other words, it's not just telling the truth. It's getting intuitions about what this person needs to know, you know, how we can become a synchronicity for the person we're talking to. And if we are telling the truth to them with an eye of service, how can I help you? What's coming to me that I intuitively am guided that you need to know? What happens is that sets a karmic response in the universe, and what you draw into your life is people that are there to help you. That's the way it works. And we're putting all this together, and but it has to happen, of course, in our private lives. It has to happen first in each of our individual lives, but never have we had such help for that. And is it becoming in most clear, or more clear? I mean, we are really at a place where it's not being handed to us. You know, this wave of universal consciousness is not going to impose itself on us, but it's never been closer when we knock on the door.
you know, make, you when make you, me think. Oh, I was going to say, you make me think, you know, I think in the past where I've been manipulated, maybe I should think, okay, what did I do at that point in my life? Why was I manipulated at that time of life? And maybe I can realize what I did at that time.
Yeah. I mean, you can. That's the way you see what your control drama is, you know. You just kind of get a picture of it. But now, I mean, there's something really happening that is allowing us to put it into practice, all this spiritual knowledge that we've talked about and know. You know, we're taking the next step to really live it.
Let me ask you, when you were writing this 12th Insight, the last book, was there any particular part in the book that stands out for you that you placed in the book that you didn't anticipate placing in it?
Well, that's an interesting thing because I didn't expect to deal with the karma aspect. I really didn't think it was going to come together in that way. And probably that's why it took so long, because, you know, you have to clear your life if you're going to do it at this level. You have to get into authenticity. And it's all kind of little bitty behavioral things there are habits you have to move through. I had a lot of work to do. Some of it was revealed to me too, you know, in doing the Selfing Prophecy movie. I had to deal with Hollywood. So, you know, the first thing I said, well, what in the world? Why am I drawing in all these people that are not bad, but, you know, still not giving me their best truth? And, you know, I realized that, you know, I wasn't taking the risk to fully say it to people, you know, fully say what I'm talking about to people. Individually, you know, I mean, I think I do it in the books much better, but at the individual level, you know, people would call me reserved in the past. But with this book, over the last 4 years, you know, I'm out front, totally transparent.
That's a big jump.
You learned to value your own truth.
Well, and I got to find out what that looked like and what it got me. You know, what I received for it. And that's, of course, the part that's relevant to everybody's life, I think, out there. That's part of this 12th insight.
Well, it makes life feel magical once you get a hold of that.
Well, you don't want to let it go. I was going to say, it's almost like tasting a real rich hot cup of chocolate. You know, it's going, oh, wow, that feels good. You know, that tastes so good. It really is... it really stirs one to go further and do it again and again, you know.
Well, you know, we see right in front of us, like, for instance, politicians. They come in saying they're speaking the truth, and then down the line you find out they're not. And this is all coming down to bite them. I mean,
of course it is, yeah. And people, listen, a part of this is that we might as well stop lying, because more and more people know we're lying. In other words, we've got this, you know, we've already stepped in this higher consciousness that's given us what we might call a bullshit detector. And it's being able to see and feel when someone's being inauthentic with us. So that's why, you know, Congress, what, got 11% approval rate. And that's probably the other politicians voting there. You know, it's just, we all need to move into honor and integrity and live authentically, because guess what? If we don't, everybody's going to know anyway.
So did you do a lot of research for your book? Because I know you talk about the scripture and politics. And the Mayan prophecy.
Yeah.
Did you have to do a lot of research?
Yeah, it took a while, because I think there's so many interesting things happening right now. You know, you've got the Mayan prophecy, or the Mayan calendar that's prophetic. You know, you've got the other Native American prophecies that have to do with a transformation of the world. And you know, you have this you know, as I deal with in the book, as part of the plot of it, is this growing fascination with the end times, you know, the end of the world. And of course, you know, it's perfectly feasible that we'll see the end of the world out of some accident or intention, because the war over whose religion is best is very, very close to going nuclear. And it's you know, what we want to believe, and we hold the energy that, you know, anybody who gets the nuclear weapon will, you know, the angels will intervene and they won't really use it. And I believe what we're finding is that there's an imperative to living, you know, making this shift in our own lives. Because not only is it the best life we can discover for ourselves, it's the only way to interrupt this growing conflict, hatred and conflict around religion in the world. And, you know, it's understandable that that's what the war is about, because we're all talking and thinking and becoming more spiritual. So it makes perfect sense that, hey, we have to now deal with all these many doctrines about spirituality that are in conflict with each other. And so, as you point out, the book is about, it is involved in, you know, it sort of portrays the metamorphosis I went through in looking at different religions and what they offer to the table. And I really realized that the only way out of this is for each religion to acknowledge that theirs is not the only way. Not only that, that the other religions have something to teach them that could illuminate their own religious perspectives. And, of course, they have to teach the best of their religion to all the other religions. And what you get is a kind of authentic spirituality being pointed to as this discussion happens across all religions. You get an authentic spirituality, and in, you know, the moderates in every religion come to the center stage. But again, all the power to make that happen happens when enough of us take seriously that we can make this change to authenticity in our life, and then be a synchronicity to all the people that we meet through what I've called conscious conversation. You'll see in the book, but it's you know, unless we do it at the individual level, then it's not going to percolate close enough to people at the extreme for someone to reach the person with their hand on the button, you know. And we have to realize that we have great influence collectively in that regard, because as we live, we sort of send out the vibes that bring other people into this life of great authenticity and spirituality. So, you know, that's the storyline has a parable effect in the sense that you get to see all that play out.
You also, in your book, talk about conscious conversation. So that's part of what you're just talking about now. I mean, if we have conscious conversation, even between religions,
that'll
help us be more aware and conscious.
Yeah, and it's just like a millimeter from what we do now, except that we have to be authentic in our lives. And we want to get intuitive guidance, open up to the intuitive guidance of what we're supposed to say to the other person in our lives that we're meeting, crossing paths with, seeing at the bookstore, wherever it is. And if we all realize that we're involved in this clearing the air about spirituality, it doesn't mean anybody has to give up, you know, their chosen way of religion. It just means that you have to rise, bring that to the best truth about you know, that includes all this movement toward authentic spirituality. That's what the religions will tell each other, will teach each other, if we're really honest and we're really seeking to be of service to the other person. And that's, of course, what conscious conversation is.
Now, when you started, when you wrote your first book, The Celestine Prophecy, did you have in mind to write a series?
Well, interesting question. I really did think it would be a series. I even flirted with the idea that there'd be 12 insights.
Oh.
But I had no way of knowing for sure, and I'd acknowledge that, you know. It may have just have been one. You know, I had no idea, really, because, again, I sought out not to make anything up. I just wanted to report this awakening that I thought was happening step by step across human culture.
I have a funny kind of feeling there's going to be another one.
Well, I think it will look more, you know, more on this 12th shift in consciousness. You know, I'm sure it is, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of reform movements that are going to become very, very efficient. You know, I mean, there are whistleblowers everywhere now. Everybody has a video camera on their phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, just all this corruption is coming to light. There's no hiding it anymore. The consensus that it's okay is going away. The new consensus is, let's point out untruth wherever we see it. Not in a mean spirit or a spirited way or in an unloving way, but because, you know, the truth has no agenda. You tell the truth that you see. And if everybody's doing that, guess what? It all comes to light, and all the reform movements and all across human society get more energy. And it'll take a while to clean up the mess, but see, I believe that we have the tools now.
I just got that truth is out of the box now, and you can't put it back in.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, every time I pick up the newspaper and read it, there's something else that someone's found that was being done illegally or under the rug. And every day I read something.
Yeah. Well, you haven't seen anything yet. I mean, you know, across every government on the planet, there's so much corruption that's unbelievable, and it's, you know, it's going to have to come out. We have to not be depressed about it. You know, it's at every level of health and education and food preparation, packaging, and everything doctors say to each other and also to their patients. All of it's just fraught with corruption and self-serving actions. So, again, it's going to look pretty, I mean, we're just going to see more and more, but as we say, you know, that's what it's going to take to clean it up.
James, do you want to tell us a little bit about what you and your wife, the Global Prayer Project?
Yes. Yeah, we've had this going a couple of years, and it's a biweekly, every other twice a month, on Tuesday night, gathering. People, it's free totally. People pay their own long distance charges if they want to come in on a phone line, but you know, it's totally free on the internet. And what we do is we just pool all this energy from thousands of people. We don't know the exact number, but we know it's a lot. And we pool together, and you can feel it. When you're electronically hooked together like that, each person seeking to connect with everybody else, saying hello to everybody, and all that. It's an amazing energy lift. It's just amazing. And then what we do is we take that energy and, you know, we connect with, you know, the divine and behind the world, behind our own lives. And we just are one with that, and we try to be one with people around the planet who are having difficulties, having challenges, you know, whether it's a natural disaster, it's an election, anything to do with helping the planet, something like that. And we do it every other month. And on selfingvision.com, everyone can see exactly how they can tune in. And it's an amazing thing. It's changed our lives for sure, because boy, the kind of thoughts you have and clarity you reach when you're connected in oneness with that many people. Everybody intended to connect with oneness. There's some magical things happen. You know, one of the things that happened, I'll just give you one example. We had a prayer visualization surrounding the Gulf spill and trying to find a solution to capping that well. And the visualization we had is that whoever it could come from, you know, we just sent out this visualization and oneness affirmation with gratitude that someone was going to come and figure out how to cap this well, because it became pretty clear that the government nor BP knew how to do it. And so we did that, and a couple of weeks later, you know, we were looking at the news, and all of a sudden we saw that it was probably 3 months later, somewhere over 2 or 3 months, we heard that, hey, they had an idea, but it had to be built. And then, what was it, 5, 6 months later, they had this device, put it on there, and it worked. Well, guess what? It didn't come from the government, and it didn't come from BP. It came from an individual who was an engineer, had used to work in the oil industry and was on vacation, and he just suddenly got the idea of a mechanism, a cap that would work, and it did. So we were thrilled about that. I know many, many people were praying for that besides us, but we've had some magical things like that occur.
So people can find out about actually your webcast on your web page, CelestineVision.com. Is that right?
That's right. And they can just Google my name and see it easily if they want to.
Well, I think we'll put that up on our website and let people know about it, and on our Facebook, too. So you're going to be in our neighborhood, Santa Cruz, in March.
Sure.
I think March 21st for your book signing at the bookstore in Santa Cruz. So we'll have you on with us just before you come to Santa Cruz to let everybody know you're going to be there. And your new book, The 12th Insight, The Book of Reckoning, is going to be out February 15th. And
it's the Hour of Reckoning.
Which, hour, I'm think, sorry.
Yeah, like right now, you know. we've got to pay attention to it. In my opinion, I mean, this is my view, of course.
So people can pre-order the book. Is that correct?
They can at all the bookstore sites. Most of them, you can pre-order it. It'll be shipped to you on release date, which will be February the 15th.
Well, I heard that you're already on the bestseller list just on the pre-orders. Is that that's pretty good.
Well, I know. I heard that, too. I haven't really, you know, I'm not technical enough to look in there and find out myself. But, that's great. And I just couldn't be more excited about being able to go out and talk about the book.
So do you have any last thing to say to our listeners before we...
Well, you know, just repeat one thing I said, you know, and expand it a little bit. And you know, we talked about being a synchronicity for other people and having a attitude of service toward them and waiting for just the right thing to come to mind to say to them. Well, in the book, you'll see toward the end a kind of connection that's possible that we literally hand over to other people as well. It's a divine connection that I believe we're learning to do it right now. And it's very simple. And I believe that if we can all do that, I think this world can change very, very quickly.
Yes.
And there are other people talking about, not just me, because I'm reporting what's already happening. But I believe that it's this one gift that we give others in conscious conversation that it's a realization of the influence we have on people, how important our lives and living clear lives of truth are to others and the world. So I would just remind everybody to come into connection with us all as we seek to really live that.
Well, Paula, let me just give out the website again for people to get the book in advance. It's the12thinsight.com. They can hop on that. Thank you for being with us.
We've been talking to James Redfield and his latest book, The 12th Insight, The Hour of Reckoning. And we thank you so much for being with us today, and we hope we get to talk to you again in March.
Yes, we should definitely do that. And look, thanks for what you're doing. You know, you're spending your time, you're getting the word out, and that's really important.
And I hope everybody listening will tune into your webcast. It sounds like it's really remarkable. Thank you for being with us.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.